Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. And this is our special Friday night program entitled Eden to Eternity. From creation to restoration, we explore God's plan to bring us back to His original design of communion, peace, worship, and the rest He promised in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." My name is Emily, and I will be your host for today. And joining me, as always, is Naomi. And we are back, aren't we?
We are back. We really are back. And welcome, everyone, if you're listening right around Australia. Just welcome to this beautiful evening. The Sabbath hour is coming in, and what a joy it is to be back in Australia after being away for 3 weeks. It was really... Yes. Seems I feel like I've been away for months. Did you miss me, Emily? Oh, hang on. You were with me.
We both went.
It was amazing, wasn't it? What was your favourite bit?
I think, well, it's hard, but I think probably the people that I met, the new friends that I've met.
So many new friends. So we went to two different things. We went to, we were going to Acts 29 Unleashed, which was the next chapter of Acts. I did look it up and there is only, it ends at 28. But so they wanted everyone to be the next chapter, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it was a lot of prayer, a lot of music and wonderful speakers. We had Pastor David Shin, or Dr. David Shin, I should say, and also Pastor Pavel Goya, who, you know, if you go on to the Acts 29 Unleashed playlist on YouTube, you'll be able to see all the wonderful messages and of hope there. It was really wonderful. And then the second thing we did, well, actually we did it first, was we flew from San Francisco to Phoenix, Arizona, which was like 110 degrees. It's so hot in the desert. But we went to what's called ASI, which I said yes to before I knew what it was. And everyone was like, wow, you're going to ASI. So it's basically a giant convention hall or building full of different booths of people who are in independent ministry, which they might be helping people in Cuba or in Africa or in Asia or around the world. And they have a ministry of some sort. They might be doing like distributing Bibles, which is what we were invited to be in the blue, the true blue Bible booth, which was a real blessing, wasn't it, Emily?
Yeah, it was amazing. So many people were able to meet, and yeah, people were just so excited to have, you know, this Bible as well. Mm. And they were so excited to be able to share it with someone as well, which is what it was made for, to share with others.
That's right. And it's got 35 beautiful what would you call it? Bible studies in the back, studies. And we were giving out one Bible per person, but there were some wonderful independent academies and schools, especially for the Native American schools and independent schools around America. So I was a bit naughty and I would give out a box to some of them.
That's good. Which it's is going 20, to a very good cause.
Yeah, to the students. I'm like, how can we get some for our students? So we couldn't say no. But if you or anyone wants to know more about it, you can go to the Upward Look Foundation, who is the foundation who's organizing these Bibles to get them out around the world. So, yeah, we had a wonderful time. And so we went to San Francisco, then we flew to Phoenix, Arizona, and then We did drive by a place. What was that called? It's like a big hole in the ground. What was that called, Emily?
I think it's called the Grand Canyon.
It is called the Grand Canyon. So we had a night there and we watched the sunset. I reckon that was my favorite bit, other than all the conference.
Beautiful.
It was just special. And looking at it, we had a wonderful discussion with the guide that took us around on the morning or the afternoon about creation. Because when you look at it, I mean, you have to see creation there in the flood, don't you? You have to see that God.
Yeah, seeing the layers and the colors and, it was pretty amazing. There was a shell, like
fossil of a shell.
On the very, very top.
Yep.
Which is, you know, very
to do with the flood. Yeah. So we know that those layers can't be just laid down, you know, millions of years in between each layer, because there would be holes and erosion, but there's not. They're all
so even.
They're like one of your cakes, the even with the layers of the strawberries and I was going to say cream, but it's not real cream. So, yeah, we had a wonderful time and we're very, very blessed to have gone. And I'm still digesting everything. It was just incredible, all the stories and the people's testimonies. And yeah, you can definitely go online and listen to them. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. It was very wonderful, but we are glad to be home.
We are. I've done it. Yeah, it's time to be home. Yes. Are you jet lagged, Emily?
I think so.
I don't think so. I don't know what day it is. No, I do. It's Sabbath. Sabbath evening. And here we are live in Adelaide. So welcome everyone, wherever you're listening from around Australia. Please text us in on 0488 808 11, because we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment. So we'd love to hear what you've got to say.
Yes, it's so wonderful to be back here in the studio. And all this week, our colleagues have been looking at the church and just questions that people may have, whether, you know, do we still need a church? What's the church for? And tonight we are looking at the topic, how do I choose a church? So that's what we'll be looking at. And so we are very excited. I'm excited for this program as well, and the music and everything that will be happening, and our guest as well that will be joining us a little bit later.
Yes. So don't go anywhere, because we're going to be unpacking how do I choose a church and looking at the Bible. Like, what does the Bible tell us? Does it tell us anything about the church, God's church, and I guess the last day church?
That's right. And I believe the Bible will have much to say, and that's where we should go.
Exactly.
Directly to the Bible.
The gospel of Naomi and Emily, but to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Bible.
Yes. Now, we've got some things before we go to that, and I just want to shout it to my friend that I met on the plane, Ruthie. It was lovely to have a little chat to her, and it was very, very cool to, you know, hear her thoughts and her journey in life. And yeah, and she was excited to listen to us as well. So I hope you can listen to us, Ruthie, even though you're almost on the other side of the world.
Yeah, in America. Yeah, I just want to also shout out to Spencer and Yong, who I met on our fly into Auckland the other day, and on the way home. And just, yeah, big shout out to you guys. I want to also shout out to Andrew and Bev and Elise and Cameron, Zia and Blaze, and Rick and his family, Peter, Maya and Zelko. Just a big shout out to you guys, Christine and also Randu and Lahiro, Nicole, Esther, Steve, Daniel and Carol. And also a big shout out to Sue and Jan, who we met at Acts 29 Unleashed, but also in Sacramento when we went out to the Amazing Facts headquarters in Sacramento, where Pastor Doug Batchelor is. So yeah, shout out to all of them, and also Kevin and Jenny, Josie, Joe and Dell, and a very special shout out to Bruce, Anna, Brian and Debbie. But especially a special shout out tonight to Gare and Alina, because they each, we prayed with each of them separately in Bible studies and at church, because they were both looking for a significant other, weren't they, Emily? They wanted a godly, well, in Gare's case, a godly woman, and Alina wanted a godly man, and we prayed for them independently. And then lo and behold, a few weeks later, they met. And they got engaged very quickly before we even left on our trip, which was a Saturday night before. So big congratulations to both of you. And I know that you're being brought together by God, and for God, and having God at the center of your engagement and your life together when you finally get married, I think in a year's time.
Yes. So very exciting.
Very exciting. Congratulations. You both really deserve it. And deserve each other, because you were praying for a godly spouse, a godly partner.
Yes. So prayer works, and God knows.
Be careful. Be careful what you pray for.
Yes, that's right.
You never know what's going to happen. That's right.
Yes. Now, friends, before we go to some music and our topic for tonight, we have a special guest. Yeah, we do. But we also have a very awesome giveaway, which is absolutely free for you.
It's free, and we want each of you to have it this special Friday night here on Eden to Eternity on Faith FM. We have a very beautiful giveaway. It's called Hidden Truth Magazine, and it's by Amazing Facts. And if you'd like this, it's really, really lovely. And the code to text in tonight is SA429. That's SA429, and the number to text into is 0488 0488 880811. So that is 0488 880811. And this magazine is fantastic. It's a sharing magazine, so it's not very big. So it's really lovely to read. It presents seven of the most misunderstood biblical subjects in a very direct and captivating way. It talks about heaven and hell, salvation, Sabbath, and much, much more. I mean, this is a fantastic magazine. I've got this one. It's really good. It's packed with, I love it because it's got colorful, attention-grabbing pictures and graphics, and lots of fascinating trivia as well, and a compelling Bible facts, which is what we really want, isn't it? So, you know, if you're going to read it or maybe share it with someone after you've read it, you'll really love it. So the name of the magazine is Hidden Truth Magazine by Amazing Facts, and the number to text to tonight is our Drive Time number, and save it in your phone under Drive Time. It's 0488 880811. That's 0488 880811, and the number is the code rather for tonight is SA429. So that stands for South Australia, SA429, and there's no gaps or dots or dashes, so please get it. You'll love it. It's fantastic.
Yes, yes, you will. And a shout out to Esther, who has texted in for that book.
Thank you for listening. And she's from Western Australia. Hello, Esther. And that's Queen Esther, isn't it, in the Bible, in the book of Esther.
Yeah, yes.
So thank you,
Esther.
She's
got a Bible name.
Got a Bible name. And now you're going to have the Bible magazine, Hidden Truth Magazine.
Very good. Now, friends, we have some music for you. And this one, I actually just heard it recently. It's called The Building. And it's actually talking about a church building and how the fellowship and just, you know, the atmosphere in the church brought this person or helped in their journey to bring them closer to Jesus. And so since our topic tonight is how do I choose a church, I thought this would be a fitting song.
Perfect
to play.
Song.
So let's hear The Building, and this is sung by Emily Ann Rotz.
I can't help but wonder if these floorboards creaked the same in 42 when my great-grandpa poured his heart and soul into preaching the good news. And these tattered old red hymn books have caught a tear or two, 'cause it's hard to sing just as I am without the Spirit moving you. If those altars at the front could testify, I know they'd say it never once got old hearing a sinner call his name. I know the stained glass never saved a soul, and these pews ain't on the roll that's come up yonder. I know the pulpit's just a wooden stand, but it's felt the power of God's hand as His glory filled the place with awe and wonder. I know it's just a building, plain and simple white, but it's the building where Jesus changed my life. It never claimed to be the biggest, nobody ever called it cool, but it's where my mama met my daddy at vacation Bible school. It's been the picture perfect dream of a thousand glowing brides. It's heard the weeping as a loved one's laid to rest with sad goodbyes. And I know the stained glass never saved a soul, and these pews ain't on the roll that's come up yonder. I know building where Jesus changed my life. but I'll sure miss it when it's gone. And I'll be forever grateful to call that church my home. I know the stained glass never saved a soul, and these pews ain't on the roll that's cut up yonder. I know the pulpit's just a wooden step, but it's felt the power of God's hand as His glory filled the place with all.
And that was the beautiful song, The Building by Emily Ann Roberts. Welcome back, friends. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we are so glad that you are joining us this evening here on Eden to Eternity. And all this week, our colleagues have been talking about the church and, you know, how relevant it is in, you know, the culture today. And tonight we've got a very interesting topic, a very practical one actually, and we're going to be looking at how do I choose a church. But we have a very special guest joining us today, and he's going to be sharing his story with us.
I know, we're so very, very privileged to have our very good friend from Western Australia, Beth's best state in Australia, right?
That's right.
And it is Ryan Kaywood. Welcome, Ryan.
Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. You're right. WA is absolutely the best state in Australia. No questions asked.
No questions. Now, where are you from originally? Because we know that you've got an accent there. And where are you from?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So my family is from Zimbabwe, but I actually grew up in the Middle East. I grew up in Dubai. So I really retained the accent to my family.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And can I ask how old you are? Or is that still polite to ask people?
No, it's all right. I think I'm young enough that I can still tell you. No, I'm 27.
27. So you're a 27 and you're an engineer and you live in Western Australia with your family that's there. Now, we've got a really interesting question this week. How do I choose a church? Now, that's a really interesting question because, you know, there are people out there who are actually looking, seeking truth. And they're like, well, I've never been to church, or, you know, why there's so many churches, I don't really know how to choose. I guess it'd be like, I know you're an enthusiast of cars and engines and driving. And so to be like, I guess if there's lots of great cars, like, I don't know, an E-Type Jag or I don't know, what's your other favorite car? I'm trying to think what else you've got what would be your favorite car?
Probably would be like an older BMW M3, something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're a fan of cars, you love driving, and so there's lots of different cars. How do we choose one? There'd be different, I guess, categories and reasons. But in the church, it's really interesting, or in churches and religion, how do we choose a church? So, I guess my first question would be, I guess we'll just go right back. Is God real, Ryan?
Yes, I mean, this is the question that we all have to ask. I mean, no matter how you've been brought up. And, you know, I grew up religious in terms of my family. I grew up in a Pentecostal or non-denominational family. And while I retained my family's beliefs as a child, I remember in my, you know, later and early teenage years, really just defining this question and trying to answer it, because I think especially for people who grew up religious in terms of your family, everyone comes to the point of saying, do I actually believe this? Like, is God actually real? And then for anyone who doesn't have that background, who may be an atheist, I'm sure they're gonna ask the same thing, like all the stuff about the Bible and different religions, like, is it all absolute nonsense, or are some people onto something? Is it all kind of true, right? I mean, these are very good questions to ask, but I have to say, personally that yes, God is real. Mm-hmm. And I can give you three different ways in which we can see God as real. Yeah, absolutely. One of them must be the science of creation. This is something that we can study a lot, especially with a lot of the new outcomes and new understandings of quantum mechanics. You don't have to be a genius to look into this, but we have so much irreducible complexity in nature, in the human body. We have the contradictions of probability that we are even here in the first place. I mean, just a thought experiment really quickly. I mean, we model so much of truth and understanding and statistics on probability, yet the probability that even one DNA strand is able to replicate properly is more than 1 to the power of 10 to the number of atoms in the universe.
Wow.
So this idea that everything is random and we just happen to be here, it is very, very, very illogical with a scientific perspective. That's got to be point number one, irreducible complexity. Mm-hmm. And my second would have to be the Bible's beautiful archaeological record. Mm-hmm. I mean, all through its pages are the complete stories of peoples and civilizations. And there are many archaeologists who are not Christian, but use that book as the modus for their discoveries. Mm-hmm. And they were never able to prove it wrong. I could go into huge detail here, but I'll keep it short and sweet. And number three must be prophecies given in scripture. I mean, we have the complete laid out kingdoms, the ideas, the religions, and all the calamities just there for the taking. I mean, to me, God is absolutely real, and He wants to speak to us. It's a yes and absolutely to that question.
And how does He speak to you? What are the ways that God speaks to you? Does He speak through anything or by anything? How do we know God's will?
Yeah, okay, great question. And I've already actually alluded to this in those second and third points above. So, I mean, if God is real and God created us, doesn't He want something to do with us? Does He not?
Yeah.
And my conviction is that God didn't just make the world and then leave it alone, right? Like, you wind up a toy and you let it spin and it just does its thing and you walk away. No. From what I can see and understand and study, the Bible is given to us as God's expedient will, as the book of truth. And just to take a critical perspective, because I grew up believing this, but I was always a black sheep of the family. I always had to know why. I irritated my parents with all my questions. But truly, I mean, it's good to be critical of something that you're going to tie your beliefs to, right?
Yeah. Well, you don't want to just blindly believe. You need to be able to find what God says in the Bible and why He says it, because to me, it's a roadmap. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. He has given us a pathway. But even then, I mean, some may say, yeah, but the Bible was just written for control, to contort people. And look, all I can say is that through history, and especially in the Dark Ages, there were powers who contorted the Bible, its verses, its wording to suit their own desires. But think about it with these two points for a second here. I mean, many would say that, well, the disciples were just a bunch of people who wanted fanfare. They wanted to be followed, and so they just wrote this book. But all historical accounts show that these people had very little money. They led a nomad lifestyle. They didn't have a place to lay their head. And then all of them, except for John, were killed in absolutely brutal ways. I don't find how the scriptures can be self-serving. And just secondly, when we look through the accounts of the book of Daniel, right, it tells us amazing things about kingdoms and people and religion. And many say, no, well, this was just written way afterwards, looking backwards in the rearview mirror to gain a following. Okay, so people, you know, critical scholars will say that this was written in 160 BC, not 600 to 500 BC. But what's amazing is that when you go and study the type of language that Daniel 2 to 7 was written in, okay, it's a type of Hebrew an Aramaic, but the Aramaic is Medo-Persian Aramaic, and it even has Akkadian influence from Babylon. So this actual type of language, this subscript of Aramaic, only existed exactly in that 100 years where the book said it would have been written to predict the future. So look, time and time and again, the Bible comes up for debate, but it is always vindicated, and this is by scientific, by historical methods. It stands well and true. And just something else, people say, well, okay, this is one religious book. What about the others? Like, don't they all have some truth? Well, that's a very good question, but the Bible stands alone on the basis of the claims it makes. Okay, let me just read out some things here.
Yes, please.
And I think you're going to see what I'm talking about, right? So Isaiah 45:5 says, I am God, and there is none beside me. Now, that's a pretty big claim. None beside him? Okay. Well, how about John 14:6? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Wow, only by Christ. Okay. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Wow, so the word of Christ, which we can see as the Bible, that is truth itself. Okay. How might I get this idea? Well, let's look earlier in the book, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then further on, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians 1:16, talking about Christ. By him were all things created. And Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I mean, these are huge claims to say that Christ is actually the one by which everything was created, that the Word is completely in line with Christ, and that we have a God who creates the world. We have Christ through whom it was created, but then also we have the Holy Spirit, right? And that this is the absolute truth. I mean, what a huge claim to make. And if it was not true, wouldn't you think this is pretty arrogant?
Yeah, very, very arrogant. Now, when we look at this, so we know God is real, the Bible is real. If we go on that premise, and we look then at God's church or Jesus' church, like he talked about in the Bible, the church is built on the rock. The rock is Christ. Christ is the Word. Can you tell me, what are the attributes, if we were looking for a church that I suppose is Bible-based, based on Christ's character and ethics, what is the picture of God's church? Does it tell us?
Great,
are there attributes?
Great question. Yes, look, absolutely. But it's just worth dwelling on that question for a second here, because I believe that there can be only two outcomes, right? I mean, Matthew 16:16, you know, we have Peter saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Christ says back to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, right? So the rock is Christ, the foundation is Christ, and as we read already, Christ is the Word. So the foundation of the church must be the Bible. Okay, and so, well, the Bible must then surely, I mean, it must make some sort of distinction when talking about what the church must be, what attributes must have, and absolutely, right? Revelation 12 gives us an overarching view of the church, this bride, the woman, okay? And very clearly in Revelation 12:17, it says, here are they who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus.
Right.
Now, I don't think there's ever been a more pivotal verse in the Bible in my journey seeking truth.
Why?
Well, it is because if I was to give a little bit of my testimony, I had a near-death experience and I was convicted to turn away from my lifestyle of frivolity and drinking and smoking and all the pleasure and the things of the world, right? But I wanted to to know, okay, this group of people who make it in the end, this remnant, okay, what do they have? Okay, and it's these two things. It's the commandments of God and it's the testimony of Jesus.
And what is the testimony of Jesus? Is there a verse in the Bible that explains that to us?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So the angel actually defines this further on in Revelation 19:10, and mm-hmm. it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. So what is the spirit of prophecy? So the true church will understand what Jesus is doing right now or whatever time it may have been historically. And so a lot of people have this strange view of prophecy, okay? And this is what I grew up with in a lot of non-denominational churches where people will essentially get up over the microphone and just prophesy this and say that they prophesy that. But this is not actually scriptural. The testimony of Jesus is the ongoing witness and instruction given by Christ to guide, correct, and comfort his church. And it's not just understanding what Christ has done on the cross, but it's the ongoing understanding of what Christ is wanting to do with his people right now and in the future.
That's wonderful. We're going to listen to some beautiful music, but don't go away, listeners. We're going to be back shortly to continue our discussion of how do we choose a church.
And this is Redeemed by Alessandra Soros. Welcome back, friends, and we just heard the beautiful song, which was Redeemed by Alessandra Soros, and we also have joining us a special guest, and he chose that song. So, Ryan Kaywood, can you please share with us, what do you love about that song, Redeemed?
Redeemed, well, I've got to say that it's right in the name. It's a song that helps me dwell on what Christ has brought me out of, where he wants to take me. We know that from the Bible, it is Christ's pleasure to work in us and establish his will in our hearts. And this is just such a glory to me.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful. So friends, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And tonight we are looking at the topic of how do I choose a church? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, Ryan is going to continue sharing with us about this topic.
It's been so good. And we've really been unpacking God is real, getting the basis of God is real, the Bible is real, and knowing what prophecy is in the Bible. Especially in Revelation, I'll just go back to that beautiful verse that you read the end part of. I'll read the beginning of it as well. So that's Revelation 12:17. Listeners, if you are following along at home and have your Bibles. So Revelation 12:17, it says, and the dragon, which we know is the devil, and the dragon was wroth, which means angry, with the woman. And a woman in the prophecy means a church. So the dragon or the devil was angry at God's church and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which means those that are left behind, that there's only a few left, the remainder. And so he was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. I guess my question would be, what do the commandments have to do with the end times? And what is the testimony of Jesus?
Yes, I mean, these are great questions, and they're the things that we must really take time to dwell on. But before I can answer this, we really have to talk about, I mean, what are the commandments? Because there's many commands given the Bible, but it's better that we're razor sharp here and understand, I mean, what is it about these commandments that makes the devil so wroth with the woman, but especially the remnant of her seed? Because these are the ones who keep the commandments and the testimony. Well, I would say that you can see seven different sets of law in the Bible, okay? There is the law of sin spoken of in Romans 7. Law of sin spoken of in Romans 7. And this is talking about the natural propensity of the body to want things that are against God and evil and all those desires of the flesh. All right. Now, there is a ceremonial law, the schoolmaster, which was there to keep sin before the eyes of ancient Israel. Now, a lot will say that, well, the commandments don't matter because these are nailed to the cross. Mm-hmm. And those people are technically right, but I think it's very important that we understand which commandments those are. And it's the commandments that were a shadow of things to come, which are nailed to the cross. And it's these ceremonial laws that were there to point forward to Christ and to point forward to the atonement. These were the ones that were nailed to the cross because, well, once the atonement has been given, once Christ has come, there is no point in going forward and pointing towards anything. It's already come.
But the ceremonial ones were all to do with the sacrifice of the lamb. You'd bring your perfect animal and lay your hands and your sins upon it. But now that Jesus has actually died, he is a sacrificial lamb. We don't need to, thank God, we don't need to kill animals anymore to do that. They're the ceremonial laws that were, I understand, were nailed to the cross. What are the other commandments then that were not nailed to the cross?
Yes. So these are the Ten Commandments. Now, they are described as perfect, as just, as everlasting, the law of liberty. And Christ does the best here of summarizing these into two central themes, really, which is love God and love your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And he says that on these commandments hang all the law of the prophets the oracles.
Yeah, but can I ask those two, like to love God and your neighbor means the first four commandments are about God and the last six are about your neighbor. It doesn't mean that they're done away with and all we do is love people, does it? It doesn't do away with thou shalt not kill or commit adultery or keep the Sabbath.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So the way that it's phrased is that on these two hang all the law of the prophets, right? So if the Ten Commandments is that door, these are the hinges. Mm. We're not saying just because we have the hinges, we get rid of the door. No. Mm. It's that if you don't have these hinges, the door would fall off. Mm. And so the Pharisees made the law this awful thing to keep. They added multiple rules to it, and they try to say, well, if God didn't say this, well, then he did say that. They lost sight of its true character, its form of renewal upon someone. Okay, what's the deal with these commandments? Why does the devil hate him so much? Well, this is all about the promise of the new covenant. So the oracle spoke of this. Jeremiah 31:33 says, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." So the law being kept, okay, these Ten Commandments being held by the remnant, is the very purpose of the new covenant, that Christ gives us the power to do these things in his strength. And Satan can't stand this, because Jesus is promising the freedom from sin, not freedom in sin. He's truly trying to make sure that everyone can be taken away from the shackles of slavery, not just be comforted, but still locked up, if this makes sense.
Mm. So it gives us a good indication of what God is wanting from us. He wants us to be loyal, to worship him, and to keep the commandments. And it tells us that the church in the last days, as it tells us in Revelation, that here are the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, not the faith in Jesus, but the faith of Jesus. And in this particular verse in Revelation 12:17, it also says that those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. So well, for you, I know you were in different churches, and then you had quite a, he's got a wonderful testimony, listeners. We'll have to get you back on, Ryan, to tell your whole testimony. Quite an amazing life that you're alive now, even though there are different things that happened. So you started searching,
yes,
and you found a church that you felt fitted these particular attributes of what God says is his true last church, the remnant church. How did you go about finding a church that fulfills these definitions of truth, of commandments and prophecy? And then I wonder if you could also then talk about how some people are uncertain, or they're not sure of what they would do, and in, you know, they like a religious system, or they like the different fanfare, or their traditions. But for you, you felt like you found what the Bible was talking about as God's rock, his remnant church.
Yes, Naomi, absolutely. And the first thing that we have to do here is we have to be okay to seek. We have to be okay to get out of our comfort zone, whether it's mentally or physically, and really just put all the cards on the table. And we must decide that no matter what, when I find truth, I'll follow it.
Mm.
When I find truth, I will follow it. And so it's actually simpler than you may think, right? Because this biblical description of the remnant gives us some checklists that we can run against what we should want from our church, right? So they must have the commandments and the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. So this church, it must teach that we need the commandments, not that we keep the commandments to be saved. No, because we are saved through Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8-9. But Christ wills to work his commandments in our lives, and we know that they are very close to his heart. They are the transcript of God's character. So we just have to go through the Ten Commandments and see whether the church teaches them. And it's also important to discern here, are these the original biblical commandments? And you may think, what do you mean? The Ten Commandments are just the Ten Commandments, right?
Hmm.
Well, I wish it was the case, but sadly, through the times in AD and in the Dark Ages, absolutely, there was this shuffling of some of the commandments around.
Hmm.
Some of them were reworded, and it's important that we look at the original received text to the people. Okay, I invite anyone to pick up a King James Bible, which was written off those original manuscripts, and look at the commandments there, because that is how they were in their full word given to the people. And it can't be that we change a bit of this one commandment, or that we appropriate this a little bit. No. All the commandments must be taught as they are, as God has given them to us.
And they're quite long, aren't they, when you read them in the original? Like, I mean, I've got a tiny little Bible that's got the original, but also in the back it gives sort of a cut-down version. Like, particularly if you look at the fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that's all it does say in the cut-down version. But the full one in Exodus 20, which is verse 8 to 11, it tells us remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, your servant, your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, basically everybody that's within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So not only does it tell us what we should remember, it also tells us what we shouldn't do and why we should remember it. It tells us we are actually worshipping God on that day. And why is it important that we keep all the commandments? Could I just keep some of them? Like, I could get rid of that one and still I'll be okay when I'm not hurting anybody. Why can't I get rid of that commandment, Ryan?
Well, we may try and think to ourselves and our human logic, well, surely it doesn't matter.
Mm.
Like, for example, if the Sabbath is indeed Saturday, which if we look historically and biblically, it absolutely is. Mm. It is a Saturday. Now, we could think, well, but why can't I keep any day? Why can't I keep a Wednesday here and a Monday here? Mm. It's just one day. Or why can't I just keep Sunday? Because that's what my church teaches. And this really comes down to, what is the authority in your life? Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, if you find truth and the truth is inconvenient, it's not up to us to say, sorry, Jesus, this far and no further. We must be okay to give him our hearts fully and let him transform us. Because there are things that we may not understand, yet these are all in line with the character of God. He's also said it in the commandment that he's blessed and hallowed it. These are things particular to that seventh day, right?
Mm.
If we want to receive the blessing from this day, it's kept as a sign as well that Christ is the one that sanctifies us, okay, which we see in Ezekiel 20:12. This is all about that one day. We don't get that blessing from keeping any other day, and it's not that same sign of authority upon our lives that we follow God.
Mm, that is so true. And how do we look at things like this in terms of the Sabbath? Is it important in the end times? I know there's lots of prophecy. You do a Zoom class on a Wednesday night from Perth, and I know it's Australia wide. If people are interested in perhaps listening into that, it's Wednesday. What time is it in Perth? Is it at 7 o'clock? Is that right? You do your Zoom class?
Yeah, 7:30.
7:30.
Yeah, 7:30 to 8:00.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about that, listeners, you can text into Faith FM, and we can, or even call the main number of Faith FM, and we'll get that Zoom details to you. It's because it is fascinating. So in the end times, we know in prophecy in Daniel and Revelation that there will be a form or a need of worship. And so therefore, in terms of the Bible being true, God being true, he wants us to have a roadmap. This is really a battle about truth, isn't it? Like, we could genuinely ask, what is truth? And I guess the thing we want to know, Ryan, for you, if you knew the truth, would you genuinely follow it, even if it was difficult?
Well, this is something I can answer with my experience. I mean, after my near-death experience and then coming out of these things of the world, I was given a real weight that I needed to follow God. And this was very contrary to what I grew up with. I grew up in a very much so a once-saved, always-saved family. Like, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and then that's it. You are saved. But I had this deep conviction that there was more than that, accompanied by dreams of the end times. And so I went on this very, very, very long search for truth. I can tell you more than 4 years of just looking at the scriptures, looking at history, looking at things that have happened, things that will happen, all of this. And eventually it was this verse we've been talking about tonight, Revelation 12:17, that pushed me to look for what is the absolute truth, and that if this is the remnant and this is a sign of them, I must conform to God. You know, I can't ask for Christ to be in my life but then refuse myself to do his will, which is good. I mean, Christ is not going to ask us to do something that isn't edifying to him. And because he loves us, whatever he's asking us to do will be good for ourselves. And so I went down this path of searching for truth, and it was very inconvenient to change my lifestyle, to change the way that I lived, to deal with. I keep the Sabbath. So when I was finding truth, I actually still worked as a bartender. You may think that's crazy, but it was where I was at the time.
It's a journey.
It was a journey. God showed me the pitfalls of that lifestyle, and you know, that was the biggest night. But I just had to make the call that no, if I've been put onto work over the Sabbath, I will not turn up no matter what happens. I work as an engineer now, and it's a question that's always there with FIFO work, because you're expected to work a complete shift of 12 hours a day until you fly in, fly out. But I have to say, no, well, God set aside this day, and he's commanded me to do this. And this is the will of Christ, is that I do this thing. Mm. Okay, so no matter how inconvenient the truth might be, we have to follow it. Okay, and this is why, this is the thing that Satan really hates about this remnant, is that they are truly free by leaning on God and trusting in him and searching for his word and truth.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ryan. That just is so beautifully and eloquently put. So listeners, we're talking to our friend Ryan Kaywood from Western Australia, one of our good friends. In fact, we travelled to Melbourne together, didn't we, Emily, you and I, to see Walter Vyth in Melbourne and his colleague from Clash of Minds, Martin Smith, which was a really wonderful time. So don't go away, listeners. We'll be back to talk further to Ryan, talking about how do we choose a church.
And this is It Is Well With My Soul by Chris Ryan.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when
when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll.
That was It Is Well With My Soul by Chris Rice. Welcome back, friends. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we are joined by Ryan Kaywood. And we've been talking about a very interesting topic, how do I choose a church? But coming back to that song, It Is Well, Ryan, could you share with us, because you also picked that one, what do you really appreciate about that song?
Look, I love It As Well With My Soul because it really lets me reflect on my knowledge that I've found truth. And the truth will set you free. When you search for truth, when you search for certainty and you find it, no matter what is happening in life, as long as you are leaning on Christ and you're trusting in Him, you can say it is well with your soul.
Beautiful. I love that.
Are you at peace, Ryan?
Yes, I'm absolutely at peace.
Why?
My reason for peace is that I know that God has led me down my path in life. While I've not had a peaceful life completely, I live in peace now because I've responded to God's call to search for truth, and He has showed me His way, and I'm doing my best by leaning on Christ to follow in His footsteps.
And you chose a church. What church did you choose, and why does it give you peace?
Yes, so this was not something that was originally peaceful. In fact, it troubled me quite a lot. And I'll tell you what church it is, but I'll tell you how I got there first. I started to look for who satisfies those criteria through Revelation 12:17. Okay, who keeps the commandments, the original 10 commandments, and of the spirit of prophecy? And the spirit of prophecy is understanding what the Bible says in Daniel and Revelation, a true roadmap of what's happening in the end times. And I ended up watching a series called Total Onslaught by Walter Weith, and it completely opened my eyes. And the inconvenient truth that I found out was that the only church that I could find that kept the completeness of Revelation 12:17 was the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I didn't like hearing it because I was non-denominational. What do you mean? It could be possible that one group of people are the remnant. But the further I looked, the further it was true. And so I became a Seventh-day Adventist finally. I resisted God, but eventually I gave way to what I believe is His will for my life, and I've had peace ever since.
How old were you when you started searching?
So when I started searching, I was probably about 20. Mm-hmm. And when I found the truth, I was 24.
Wow. And now you're 27. What would you want to say to perhaps young people out there who are at the age you were of 20, 24, 27, and such a pivotal time of life when we live in a world now that has no hope? It's hopelessness that young people have, that, you know, we've got people as young as 10 committing suicide because they're told they come from nothing and they go from nothing. What would you want to tell them tonight, Ryan? And also, I'm wondering if you could also then, after telling us that, pray for us and pray for those out there who perhaps are searching. They have a God shaped hole in their hearts, and they're searching for truth. They're searching for meaning, and they're searching for love and peace.
Absolutely. So I would ask everyone to ask yourself, why do you believe what you believe right now? okay, why do you believe that you might come from nothing? Why do you believe these things? If you look around you, there is actually a lot of evidence to suggest the contrary. And on that is to truly call out to God. If God is truly real, if Jesus is who he says he is, and the Bible is as majestic and as unique as it tells itself to be, this will have power. So I ask you, I implore you to call on the name of Jesus and commit your search to truth, to his name, and you'll be very, very surprised on what you might find. You may not get the answers that you think you'll get. You may not get the answers that you will like. But I can guarantee that the word of Scripture will not return void. Mm. You will definitely hear an answer.
And the truth will make you free indeed. Ryan, thank you for sharing with us tonight. We're just so privileged to have you here. And we're just wondering, could you pray for us and especially our listeners who are on a journey right now in a search for truth?
Yes, it would be my pleasure. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth, for the way, and for the life. We thank you for the gift of your Son and for the gift of your Word. Father God, we know that there are many out there that are suffering due to many circumstances, due to illness, due to unrest, whatever the world may have offered them. We know that many have bad cards dealt to them despite not living unrighteous lives. But we ask that despite this, that they would be strengthened by your Word. They would embark on the search for truth, on the search for certainty. And that your word, we know, will not return void. May they read the blessed words of Scripture, and may they know that you are close to them in heart, that they may be set free by following your way and following truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining us tonight. Ryan Kaywood, and if you're interested in his Zoom Bible study, which is on us at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night from Perth, and that goes all around Australia, just contact us here at Faith FM or the Faith FM office number, and we will give you the details of that Zoom. Thank you, Ryan, and you must come back again and tell us your entire testimony.
I'd be most happy to.
Yes, thank you. That was awesome. And now, friends, please stay with us. We will still be continuing on.
Definitely.
But here is some more music for you. And this is Find Us Faithful by Christian Bedal.
We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly love. Behind us, find us faithful. After all, our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Find Us Faithful by Christian Bedell. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And tonight is our special Friday night program, Eden to Eternity. And this is where we explore God's original plan of rest and peace for us. And we had a wonderful time with Ryan Kaywood joining us from Western Australia. And as we've been talking about all this week about the church, questions about the church, and tonight specifically, how do I choose a church? Ryan was sharing his experience with us, which was so amazing because he, you know, he went on quite a journey, didn't he? Mm. And the truths that he, you know, found out and realized when he actually, you know, took the Bible for himself and studied it. And so it was really powerful, wasn't it?
Yeah, really powerful. And I love what the different things that he brought out. It was really very effective because we understand that there must be a model that we have to go by, not just, I guess, that what we like, what is pleasant, but what does the Bible say? And I think that's really important, a great test to look at. I particularly liked how he brought out the fact that for him, it was actually an inconvenience because he had to completely change his lifestyle. I think that's what's different with some perhaps denominations or churches, because a lot of the time it's a feel-good, Jesus loves me.
That's
but,
true.
You know, Jesus loving us is one thing, but Jesus doesn't love sin. And so, you know, we really need to look to a church that teaches the Bible truth about sin. And what actually is the mirror to our sin, Emily? What's the mirror?
It's the law, isn't it?
It's the commandments. So, and people say, oh, that's legalism. But no, the commandments don't clear away our sin. It'd be like if I've got a dirty face and I look into the mirror is going to show me that I've got perhaps mud on my face. If I've been out gardening or something, I might have wiped my hands on my face. The mirror shows me that. But is the mirror going to clean my face, Emily?
No, it can't.
No.
You're just going to make it even worse, aren't you, if you try to.
Yes. So how do I clean it? I put some water on it. So how does sin be cleaned from it? It's not by the commandments. That's the mirror that shows us, reflects to us what is right and wrong, because it tells us how do we clean our face if the commandments shows us that we have sin.
Well, it's only God can, so we must come to him and ask for forgiveness and his grace will cleanse us and also give us power to change.
Yes.
And so that we won't keep doing those things. Mm. So there's the gospel is powerful. Mm. It's the power of that Jesus came and he died that he would take away our sins and give us the power
not just, you know, so that we don't have to die, because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but it also gives us power over the power of sin, and so that we can be free. So, you know, the gospel is freedom, really.
It is, because it cuts the chains that Satan has placed around us, and so we are free indeed. And it actually allows us to have that freedom, because every morning is new. We are new in the grace of Christ, and we have to ask for forgiveness for our sins. It's not like, you know, I can drink a glass of water now or a liter of water today and I don't have to drink for the rest of the year. I have to every morning drink water. So we have to every morning pray to God, forgive me for my sins that I have now repeated. Mm. And we know within that grace goes until I sin again. So some people believe, well, you know, once saved, always saved, I can just ask for forgiveness now. A little bit like, I guess, the indulgences, which was some of the things that in, you know, the traditional church in Rome said that, you know, okay, you can sign this paper and for 3 months we're going to give you, you know, give you absolution for this indulgence for this piece of paper, and you can sin for the next 3 months and you'll be fine. So it's not like that each day. No. You know, I say, forgive me for my sins, and I don't want to, you know, help me not to sin again. But because we are in a sinful world, we will pick up toxic habits and things, and we have a sinful nature. But how wonderful that the commandments actually, people often say to me, oh, you know, that's legalism, and it's, you know, well, and that you're, you know, trying to be saved by works. Well, we can't be saved by works, because being saved is a free gift, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, because I think for many of the Christian denominations, Jesus is, you know, the central thing, and the fact that he came to die.
Mm.
And then we would take that and be like, well, why did Jesus have to die? Why? And
wow. So
if there was no law, Jesus wouldn't have to die.
No.
So the law actually came first, and then Jesus, you know, the law gives so much depth and the reason to what Jesus did.
Yeah. So and the law was there to give structure and beauty and I guess a way of living that was within harmony with God's character.
Yes, but it's also not like Jesus or God, you know, came up with, okay, I want these things to be what you have to do. You have to do these things. It's who he is. It's his character. So it's just who he is written down in some, you know, statements.
That's so interesting. And when you look at, like, you know, that what the commandments were written on, they were written on blue stone. And we know that his throne sits on the same blue stone. And so within that, we know that his character, his government, shall we say, rests upon that law. And it's beautiful. So it's not legalism. It's like if people got married, let's say our beautiful friends who've just got engaged, Gia and Alina, hello, shout out to you guys again. If when they get married, you know, if Gia goes, well, I'm going to come home to you on Wednesday nights and Friday nights, but then the rest of the night I'm going to go out and be with my friends and my girlfriend. You'd be like, hang on a minute, didn't you just get married? Oh, yeah, but, you know, I don't have to. It doesn't say in the wedding vows, but... Well, no, you don't have to, but why would you not want to? Because this is your wife and you love her. So I guess the commandments is like that. You keep the commandments because you love Jesus.
Yes.
You don't keep them so you can love him. You love him, and so you just want to be with him, do everything that he wants to do. And also there's freedom in that, because, you know, it's like if you lived in a, you know, when we just got back from America, so you know, they think that Australia is quite a scary place with snakes and spiders. And I go, hang on a minute, you've got mountain lions, coyotes and bears. I'd rather run from a snake than a bear. So, you know, if you've got a fence around your home, that's not to keep me in. It's actually to keep the other things out. So the things that hurt us.
Yeah, yeah. And it reminds me of a verse in John chapter 15 and verse 10 and 11 I'll read. And it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And you just think about it, this is God's love, and his love is what caused Jesus to come down to this earth.
Yes.
And then and it continues on, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, so Jesus was our example, and abide in his love. And then I love the next verse. It says, these things I have spoken to you that your joy, my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
Oh.
And so when Jesus gives us his commandments and you know, commands us to keep them, it's because he loves us and because he wants us to experience the greatest joy that's possible.
Yeah, and it's his joy. So what must that be like? It's like if I grow things in my garden, it's like, yeah, okay, good. But if my sister and her husband, if they grow stuff, or my brother, it's amazing because they've got such green thumbs. So the joy of God, what must that be? The love of God. And I love how you said my joy and to abide. What does abide mean?
Well, it means like to remain and to be together with something. It's a really deep word. Yeah.
So to rest in God, in his love, wouldn't that be just perfect? And, you know, people run from it. I think it's because, you know, who hates the commandments the most, Emily?
Well, the devil would.
Satan does. Mm. So it's anything that's planted in your mind that you're thinking, oh, well, commandments is, you know, this and that. It's got negativity. I can tell you, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we're coming into the Sabbath hours and, you know, we don't keep the Sabbath because we have to. We keep it because we want to. And we just want to do some really lovely shout outs. We've got Steve who said, God bless the work you do. Great job again, girls. Hope you've had recovered from the jet lag. Well, yeah, we're feeling pretty good, actually.
Getting there.
Getting there. And Blaze says, hi, ladies. Good to hear you and know you were in the Wild West. We were and did some great work there. Yes, it was amazing. God bless you and your work. Thought I heard a shout out from you. Yes, we did. Shout out, Blaze, and shout out again. And Esther, she sent one. I think it's from our youngest listeners ever, her grandchildren who are listening when they were in the park earlier.
Wonderful.
And that is Harry, Alira, Selena, Marcella, and Lucas. So hello, wow. Harry, Alira, Selena, and Marcella, and Lucas from Naomi and Emily. We're saying a hello, aren't we, Emily?
Yes. Thank beautiful you. Names.
Beautiful. And
also Anna said, thank you, Faith FM team and Ryan for Bible Truths. Very informative. God bless.
Yes, Ryan thank was just you. Excellent. Thank you, Anna, all the way from WA. So that's fantastic. Thank you, everyone, for texting in. We really do appreciate it. And I just want to say a big shout out also David Pernich, who texted in. And we just thank you all for listening.
Yes, thank you so much. And we want to give another opportunity for all our Faith FM listeners to get our free giveaway. Can you share that with our listeners?
Absolutely. What you want to text tonight is 0488 808. That's our Faith FM drive time number. You can always save it in your phone, so you've always got it there. 0488 808 11. And the code for tonight is SA429. So SA429, and you text that into 0488 808 11. And tonight, the very wonderful gift that you get free to your house is called Hidden Truth Magazine, and it's by Amazing Facts, who we actually visited their headquarters in Sacramento in California.
Yes.
And this is a beautiful sharing magazine. It's really lovely. Maybe you're not into reading like giant amounts of books and things like that, but this is a really easy magazine to read. It presents seven of the most important, most misunderstood biblical subjects in a direct and captivating way, including heaven, hell, salvation, Sabbath, and more. And it's packed with colorful, attention-grabbing graphics and fascinating trivia and compelling Bible facts. And, you know, if you get it and you love it, you can always pass it on to a neighbor or a friend or maybe one of your, you know, children. Or maybe someone who's just searching, and if you find it interesting, so please text in. You won't regret it. It'll be absolutely wonderful to receive this direct to your house. 0488 808 11, and the code is SA429. So that's 0488 808 11, and the code is SA429.
Thank you. And here is another beautiful song for you. And this is Blessed Assurance by Matt Minakers and Clint McCoy.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased. righteous of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, and praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
And that was Blessed Assurance by Matt Minnickers and Clint McCoy. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And tonight is our special Friday night program, Eden to Eternity. And we just thank you so much for joining us this evening. And I love that song, Blessed Assurance, and it really was reminding me of what Ryan said. We had Ryan Kaywood on here just a little bit before, and he was talking about his experience when he was searching the Bible and he accepted the truth and he found the church that had the truth, that he felt such peace. And I know when, you know, when we've given everything to Jesus and we are following him and we want to do his will and know what his word says to us, that we will have that blessed assurance. And so, Naomi, as our program comes to the close tonight, is there some steps that you can share with our listeners in choosing a church?
Definitely. And I know Ryan talked a lot about the commandments. A church that keeps the commandments, here are, you know, the patience of the saints, here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And in the other verse he talked about says that have the spirit of prophecy. So we know that Jesus upheld God's commandments. So I really want you to go and study and pray and look to the Bible, go and read and see what did Jesus do. So he upheld God's commandments and talked about, think I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've come not to destroy, but to fulfill. And fulfill means to show that he actually used them and he kept them. And so that was all to do with love and obedience. You want to look for a church that preaches Jesus Christ as the center of salvation. I think this is essential, Emily. And the way we understand that is that Jesus was the only way to the Father, that salvation was only through Christ, not by works, and that Paul himself, he made Christ crucified as the center of his preaching. So it's all there if you go to the Bible. And the Bible alone. And, you know, we want to look also for a church that teaches salvation by grace through faith. It's, you know, that salvation is God's gift, and that we have to be a repented sinner, that we are then justified through faith. And he invites all sinners to, you know, come to him, as our beautiful text that we'd say at the end of our show, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And, you know, to look for a church that does what Jesus did. You know, don't just ask, you know, what does the church say? It's about what does the church actually do? And we know that Jesus served people. He cared for them physically, and he ministered to them. We look in Mark 10:45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So he served and he gave his life. So we want to look to serving others. And we know that also, that sin is a really big part of knowing what did Jesus do. Like he didn't think of sin as that it's just something that we do. He talked about how it separates humanity from God. And we see that in Isaiah, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So you want to remove anything from your life that stops you seeing God's face. And that was in Isaiah 59:2, because, you know, God doesn't move, but we have things in the way that we think God's not there, but it's actually shielding his face from us. And we know that's really important. And if you look at also how he actually appeals to us to look at the scripture as authority, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you can see that with the particular people that Paul met when he talks about in Acts 17, the Bereans, and they were known for people of the word. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So I really ask you to go ahead and look at the Bible, read the Bible, study the Bible, and prayerfully ask for the Holy Spirit, because then all things will be revealed to you. Beautiful. Of what Jesus is talking about. So he teaches about the Bible, preaches the gospel. God, Jesus served the poor, and he also taught all the practical things that Christians need to. But he especially kept the Sabbath, and that's very important that we keep the Sabbath, because then we have obedience and we have love, because God is love.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And friends, yeah, we just really hope you enjoyed this wonderful time that we've had here this evening. From creation to restoration, this is Eden to eternity. Until next time, rest in the promise in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me and I will give you rest.